The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
The Mount Rushmore-Paul Gallant playoff of Texas sports again. Number one, Astros. Number two, Cougs basketball. Because I am the Cougs wagon. You heard me right. I am the Cougs wagon. Cougar Paul here. Number three, it's the Dallas Mavericks. And number four, it is the Baylor Bears basketball program. Texas, a basketball state. We did have some contributions on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Katy High School for football. Yep, they got to be up there. North Shore High School for football. Shout out to my guy Ocho Texto. Some others. The undefeated Roughnecks. Drill, baby, drill. Yeah, that's true. I actually just ordered a shirt from Breaking Tee that commemorates the 5-0 P.J. Walker-led Houston Roughnecks.
They never lost.
Man, I wish that P.J. Walker was here. At the very least, P.J. Walker would be a fun alternative to Davis Mills. You've also got the Angelo State Rams. Is that a real team in Division II? Sounds like it. I guess they're undefeated. Trinity undefeated in Division III. Okay. The Dallas Stars were brought up. I guess the Dallas Stars are doing okay.
Couldn't tell you.
I honestly, you could tell me whatever
the record was. I'd believe you.
I used to love hockey, and then I moved away from, of all places, Hockey Bay, Tampa Bay. I started really watching hockey back in 2003-04 when my parents split up. I moved to Florida with my mom. I went to 14 games the year the Lightning won the Stanley Cup. And then a lockout happened the next year. So I just got into hockey, lockout. Thanks, Gary Bettman. And then you leave a city that has professional hockey and you just kind of forget about it. So Seattle got the team right as I was leaving Seattle. And, of course, Houston lost the Arrows. How long ago was that?
It's been, gosh, it has to be like a decade by now.
Yeah, I do wish that there was some hockey here. The Dash were put in there. We will honorarily mention the Dash so I don't get canceled. But that's the only reason. That's the only reason I'm doing it.
Because otherwise, okay? This list does not include women.
Yes, exactly. Men only. Paul Gallant likes men. That's it.
During the commercial break, the woke mob got to you?
They got to me, Sean. You know
they work fast these days.
We're out at East River 9, and you know when you're out in the open, you never know if the woke mob's gonna be targeting you and following you back to your place. You don't know. But this is a fantastic place. It really is really cool. Beautiful view of the skyline of Houston. And you can golf in the dark, which I don't think I've ever seen before as far as a public course. There are lights everywhere. And honestly, I'm very curious to see what it would be like to golf out here in the actual dark. Hey, guys, the Astros season, it's always.
Yeah, baseball season's over. Actually, Paul, it's time to talk about the Texans. Paul, why aren't you focusing on the Houston Rockets?
Someone last night and I got in an argument. He's like, you know, the Rockets should flop more so that they can get calls. And I was like, are you serious? Do you want me to hate the Rockets again? I just got back. Don't make me do that. But no, it's always Astros baseball season. And to count us down to the start of the regular season, I've created a new countdown. It's like Yankees watch. It's like Mariners watch. It's the Astros baseball countdown.
The 2023 baseball season is almost tomorrow. Are you even ready?
What do you have to say to everyone who still considers the Astros cheaters?
Y'all.
All right.
There's no downtime. What? You wanted a break from baseball? I guess you wanted a break from winning, loser.
Ring the f***ing bell! It's one of the World Series!
Yeah! It's the Astros.
Astros!
Astros countdown.
140 days till the start of the regular season. Here's what we found out today. Justin Verlander has opted out of his player option for $25 million. He is a free agent. We'll see if the Astros are able to bring him back. We still have no clarity on whether or not James Click, general manager of the Astros, is returning, but Dusty Baker did sign an extension yesterday. And, of course, we also found out that the Astros are going to let Will Smith, Trey Mancini test free agency as well, as they did not pick up their team options. We found this out. Hey! Baseball's opening night, Astros White Sox, 6 o'clock, Thursday, March 30th at Minute Maid Park. Raising of the banner. It's only 140 days away, guys.
So we get to hear that open 140 more times?
Yes.
Minus weekends?
I don't know. Maybe we should insert it into commercial breaks, and I'll just say, like, hey, it's coming. And that's it. This has been brought to you by the Paul Gallant Show. Like a political advertisement that's just constantly being played at all times.
I mean, we'll see what that matchup ends up being, but we could have Dylan Cease versus Fromber. That would
Yeah. And if Justin Verlander leaves in free agency, we are going to acknowledge Framber Valdez as the true Astros Cy Young Award winner because we want to put as many chips on our shoulders. Why wasn't Framber Valdez put into the Cy Young Award finalists? Racism? I can't say. Justin Verlander? Dylan Cease? Who was the other guy?
Alec Manoah.
Oh, yeah. Alex Manoah?
Some guy who's not even an American team?
Yeah. He's from Canada. Okay. And then we have, we have to kind of move goalposts a little bit to make our argument strong to fit the narrative. But yes, Framber Valdez being kept out of the Cy Young Award, racism. 100%. I'm willing to call it right here on the most woke show on ESPN 97.5. Okay? That's why he's not there. And if Framber Valdez doesn't get the Cy Young Award, which he won't, and Justin Verlander gets it and Justin Verlander leaves, Framber Valdez is actually the real Cy Young Award winner because he won and he's on a winning baseball team going into 2023, unlike, at least right now, Justin Verlander.
I think you can officially declare him the official ace of the Paul Gallant Show.
Yes. Framber Valdez, the official ace. Although, actually, we might say Christian Javier. I think we are a Christian Javier show. We said it before the bench said it. I think. Honestly, I don't even know. I like Christian Javier a lot. His numbers are ridiculous. So, that is coming up. Thursday, March 30th, everybody. It's right around the corner. Sean Mapes brought this to... Sean Mapes brought this to my attention yesterday. Scott Boras seems like he is trying to make Carlos Correa less down bad. This, like Jeff Saturday's speech, is quite the pump-up speech that he gave to the former Houston Astro, former Minnesota Twin, now free agent.
When you're a franchise player, you know it. You've known it for years. You have a ring on your finger. You've been a multiple All-Star. You have all these things. So you're a franchise brand. You're kind of the Dior of defense. You're the Hermes of hitting. You're the...
What?
The Louis V of leadership. You're the Prada of the postseason. It's a one-stop shop for a championship designer. So for his considerations, he's looking for the club that is not only willing to add him, but either has the foundational talent or will add other talent to return him to that championship level.
Okay, I
so cringe.
I need to get back through that. So Boras is just listing off designer brands, the kind of things that a sugar daddy buys for his sugar baby. So we had him say the Prada of pop.
The Dior of defense.
The Dior of defense. The Vuitton of victory?
No, it was the Louis Vuitton of leadership.
Oh, okay.
Hermes of hitting.
Yeah, the Hermes of hitting.
Hermes of hitting makes sense. I had never heard of Hermes before.
I haven't either.
I thought he was making reference to like the Greek god with the shoes that have wings on them. And I think that's Hermes, like the Greek god of the postal service or something like that, whatever he's supposed to be. That's what I thought he was making reference to. I feel bad for Carlos Correa. This has to suck.
It's not a good look, obviously.
Well, I don't think the good look has anything to do with it, BMAC. I just feel bad for him. I mean, he signed with the Twins last year. He thought that this would set him up for a great market for him. And, of course, it's the first day of free agency, and I'm sure he's going to get paid eventually. All I'm saying is I just feel bad for him because he played for a crappy Twins team last year, didn't make the playoffs, and on top of that, now he's a free agent, and it doesn't even sound like he's resigned to making that massive Scott Boras contract. Like, you heard Boras lay all that out, And Boris is outlining, hey, he wants to play for a winning baseball team. Okay, well, he's probably not going to get that massive contract. That means that Correa is probably really bummed out that Jeremy Peña replaced him, had an amazing postseason where he wins the ALCS MVP and the World Series MVP. And now he's looking to be on a team where he can do that again. And I just feel bad for him. I think he messed up.
Especially since, I mean, look at this free agent class for shortstop. You got Trey Turner, you got Xander Bogaerts. It's a loaded,
yeah,
it's a loaded
true.
Class. You also have Dansby Swanson from Atlanta. I mean, even
that's a real guy.
Yeah, that's a real guy. Okay. That's a real guy. I know baseball Paul already knew that.
that's my bad. Thank you.
You didn't need to ask me that.
His name is Dansby.
Dansby Swanson. Yeah, he's our shortstop.
Why are we naming people Dansby?
I don't.
Is there somebody here named Dansby? No. Okay, sorry. I can say that now. Okay, good. No one's gonna beat me up. Interesting name. Dansby Swanson, okay.
But even if he finds a contender that would be willing to pay him, there's three other huge names that might get that contract before him. So it's going to be tough in this market, this loaded of a shortstop market, to get that sort of money that he wants.
So Boris is already settling for, hey, just, like, sign him, okay? Please, contending baseball team, sign him. And that might mean another one-year contract for Correa. And honestly, after what we saw statistically last year, and I think he did have a stretch where he missed some time. I don't think it was very long. Who's gonna offer him that long-term contract after what you saw last year? And I know someone brought this up on the Twitch line. I don't think you hold what Jeremy Peña did in place of Carlos Correa against Correa. I feel Peña was a guy that the Astros felt really good about at the very least. Maybe they didn't think he would do this, but they surely thought that he was going to at the very least be a decent player. How many teams have a guy like that in their farm system that's ready to go from being in the minor leagues to the opening day starter and that are going to be able to have the kind of rookie season that Peña did, where all of a sudden Jeremy Peña is also hitting for power? I don't think that guy exists. I feel bad for Correa, though. And, my God, like, Scott Boras clearly feels bad for him, too. He's talking about him as if he's, like, a designer handbag.
There has to be a part of Carlos Correa who was hoping, okay, Astros are going to try out this thing with Jeremy Peña. It's not going to work. I can opt out, and I could come right back, and they're going to pay me because they realized they couldn't replace me. But then Peña goes on and wins Gold Glove, ALCS, MVP, World Series MVP, and obviously they have no need to bring back Carlos Correa at the money he's going to make.
Yeah. Man, poor Carlos. In the arms of the angel. It's like the ASPCA ad. Please help Carlos Correa find a new home.
For just $1 a day, you can feed Carlos Correa.
$1 a day. Hang on. You know, we're talking about the Hermes of hitting.
For just $100,000 a day.
Yes.
The Mercedes and massage injuries.
For just $100,000 a handbag, you too could have the Hermes of hitting, the Vuitton of leadership. Bad job by Boris not having full alliteration throughout that. Coming up next, well, the Texans stink, so disclaimer, they're coming. But somebody joined one of our shows yesterday and had a fantastic idea on maybe how the Texans can liven things up in the near future. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at TGS. Look, folks. Everything is expensive these days. Inflation's making it all worse. So if you own a home, you want some savings through insurance, and you can get them from our friends at TGS. Look, you don't want to shop for the better rates either. That's a pain in the ass too. So here's what you can do, because it's not a hassle anymore. Thanks to TGS Insurance, with their new system, you can instantly shop over 3 dozen carriers with a full quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but a single text message. And you'll probably save a bunch of money along the way. So take that phone out right now. Text the word MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask for your address. Send it back, and you'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. Their online rating is nearly perfect. Their average customer from 2021 is saving over $870 on their home insurance. No one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're one text message away from massive savings. So one more time, text MONEY to 232323 and get your home insurance quote and save big today.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Well, we are not locked in. We are out at East River 9 for their grand opening. There's going to be drinks, food specials, live music, giveaways, and we're here till 7. There's also golf out here, and you can golf all day long, all night long. They have massive lights over these holes, and it's an incredible view of downtown Houston. So come out and hang with us. We're, again, going to be here until 7 o'clock. It's a driving range, pickleball facility, too. It's the premier destination for recreation, dining, and entertainment. And there's a restaurant, the River House, that's open for lunch and dinner. That is where we're hanging out. This patio is sick. It really is awesome. And again, come on out. Come say hi. Listen to the takes. Disclaimer! We're about to talk about the Houston Texans. Don't go. Don't leave me. I need someone to talk about them with. Okay? I need therapy for this team as well. For those who don't know, the Titans game, the last game I watched, because I wasn't going to watch that game on Thursday Night Football with a lot of attention, I had to get up and walk a lap through the stadium because I was so mad about how bad they were playing against a Titans team that had no offensive firepower whatsoever. I downloaded the dating apps during that game, okay? I had been off those for 5 months. It was a long, long Sunday afternoon, and it sounds like things might get a little longer before the Texans play the Giants on Sunday in New York.
Yeah, and now Damian Pierce is dealing with some injuries.
That's right, B-Mac. That's what I was about to get to. Damian Pierce is on the practice report. He is limited with shoulder and chest injuries after 27 carries for 139 yards on 47 snaps. Great to see him get that work until you realize, oh, wait, the season isn't going anywhere. Maybe you don't want to run Damian Pierce into the ground quite yet.
Until you realize he's on the pace for like 380 carries and you're treating him like Earl Campbell.
Yeah, Brian, I think it's time to hashtag free Dare Ogunbowale. I think I got it right. If I didn't,
I'm not going to correct you.
I apologize, Dare. Also, great news, Brandon Cooks still hasn't returned to practice. Jesus, the team lists him with a wrist injury, but of course, the only injury I think he has is you didn't trade me. I should have been traded. He was at Wednesday's practice, but he didn't actually practice.
Previously, he had personal issues listed on the injury report as well, but those have been removed.
Yep, that's true.
At least on the official report, I don't think they've been removed from him.
They should keep that as the label. That was, I think, an all-time just wuss move, dude. Like you signed a 2-year, $39 million contract with $36 million guaranteed. You're unmovable. You're making plenty of money. You and Laramie Tunsil over the last couple of seasons. I get it. You want to play for a winning team. I don't know. Force a trade or leave instead of signing back up like both of those guys seem to do this offseason. But anyway, I don't want to get too mad. I don't want to get too grumpy because there actually could be a solution for the Texans. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, hot take artist that he is, did you see what he had to say yesterday on the Wheelhouse? This guy as the potential next head coach of the Houston Texans? Here he is.
If they end up with the first overall pick, that's an attractive job. You know, I was kicking around the idea today, and I have no inside information on this. Just throw the keys to Sean Payton if you really are going to make a change and press the reset button and put him in charge of the entire operation. That would mean moving on from Nick Caserio as well. But if you really want to boost that franchise, and look, Payton's had his eyes on Dallas, well, Houston may be the next best thing.
Interesting that they would potentially move on from Nick Caserio. I do think that there's a lot of room to question Caserio in the direction of this organization under him. I think Lovie Smith as head coach, it's been rather underwhelming. I thought you were at the very least going to have a more competitive team. And while they haven't gotten absolutely murdered in every single game they've played in, it does feel like once the fourth quarter rolls around, this team doesn't have the ability to finish. That is a reflection of coaching as much as it is of the talent, though I don't know what Lovie Smith could really do ultimately with the talent that he's working with. You know, it's kind of a lose-lose situation for both Lovie and the actual Texans right now. So Sean Payton as head coach, I got to say, I am very resistant to the idea of a guy who goes into broadcasting after having been a coach for his whole career coming back into the NFL and having the same kind of fastball dedication that they'll have after a year removed from the game.
But it works so well for Urban Meyer.
Exactly, Brian McDonald. There's Urban Meyer on that in that regard. There's Jeff Saturday in that regard. That's my big reservation with Saturday is that he has been out of that football grind for a while. At least Mike Vrabel went straight from playing into being an assistant coach. I think that you are a crazy person if you work as a football coach. You have long hours, and all of a sudden you leave, even if it's for a year, and you experience something else. Are you going to be as dedicated? Or are you just going to assume, like John Gruden, you can come right back in and it's going to work out the same way? Gruden sucked as head coach of the Raiders. He was awful. People were pushing for Bill Cowher to come back in all the time. I know it's only been 1 year for Sean Payton. I'm telling you, though, that 1 year of a cushy job that's extremely easy, a studio football job, I mean, you're not even traveling. Why would you ever leave it? So I like the Mike Florio hot take side of this, but to bring in Sean Payton, I don't know. Florio keeps going and explains what the price of Sean Payton would be to bring him aboard the Texans.
He still has his contract under the control of the New Orleans Saints because he resigned. So they hold his rights. You would have to deal with them. And the way it happens is you call the Saints and you say, we'd like to try to hire Sean Payton. What would it take by way of compensation if he would agree to work for us? They work out a deal, and then they have permission to talk to Payton and work something out, and then the compensation would flow to the Saints. As a practical matter, what happens is everything gets lined up on a wink-nod basis before the formal call is ever made. And the Texans or whoever it is will know what it's going to take financially to pay Payton, what it's going to take by way of draft picks to get Payton away.
Yeah.
And who knows what the Saints want at this point. It's not like Sean Payton's going to go back and coach for them. Anything they get is more than what they otherwise have for a guy who has left and isn't coming back.
I'm out. I don't want to give up draft picks for the guy either.
Even if it's just like one third?
Nah.
I mean, I'd be out if they wanted a first, but if it was just a third.
I think Payton's a good coach. I don't think he's a great coach. Like obviously he had some success with the Saints. He won the Super Bowl. You got to wonder what would have happened if not for the Bounty Gate year where he, I think, got railroaded by the NFL. I think that was over the top. That should have been a Greg Williams thing. You know, there's a bounty system in place. It's a violent football game. I mean, players are kind of trying to knock the other guys out of the game very often, especially if they're crazy people on the defensive side of things. But whatever. Payton, to me, is one of many coaches over the last decade. That's good. But does he guarantee you a Super Bowl or something like that? Does he make you definitively better as a football team than you're at with Lovie Smith right now? Like, I suppose, but like,
I mean, he'd easily be the best coach they've ever had in 20 plus years as a franchise.
Yeah.
There's something there. I mean, he'd be the most credible guy they've ever hired as their head coach. Which, and then that list is now growing because they're hiring and firing somebody every year.
Yes, yeah. Seriously, yeah. And it probably will continue. I don't know that Lovie Smith is going to make it past this year. 713-780-3776 to call in. It's how you text into on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can tweet me at Gallant Says, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Jim Crane's being noncommittal, and y'all got to stop hating, okay? What's wrong with being commitment phobic? Nothing. I'll explain why next. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston at East River 9. Come on and hang out with us at the grand opening on this beautiful Thursday afternoon.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from East River 9 for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Here's Paul Gallant.
It is The Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We are live at East River 9. Fantastic place to golf. It is a beautiful day. And the guys at Carbach just gave me a beer. So, I mean, it's an even better day. Love Street Light Blonde. It's the only way to go about it. On Thursday. Oh, it's 11:30, Paul. What are you doing? Shut up, okay? I've had a fun week, and I'm going to keep that week riding high. Okay? Thank you. Stop looking at me like that, B-Mac. Stop thinking at me like that, Sean Mapes, back in Mission Control. Okay? I don't have a problem. It's just a great day outside. A perfect way to celebrate. So shout out to my guys at Carbog who stopped on by. All right, guys.
That escalated quickly.
What? It didn't escalate quickly at all. Okay? Come on.
I could stop whenever I want.
Yeah. Okay? It's just one. And look at the
it is a nice looking can and a nice looking koozie.
Feel good. I feel good. Let's take a little sip.
At least it's not the whole bottle that we had on Monday.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and at least you wait until 11:30 to crack it open.
Hey,
yeah, I think that bottle got cracked at 10:15.
There's nothing wrong with popping a bottle of champagne at actually, Sean, 10:15, because the first segment. We properly honored the Houston Astros. Did you not hear my montage?
Okay. I probably tuned out.
Wow. Sean, I put all that effort in. DJ Paulie G, going back to his roots. You know, a lot of people don't remember that back in the day when I was at Syracuse, I was, you know, a guy who gelled all his hair up and looked just like every cast member of the Jersey Shore. I dyed myself orange, and I was a hit DJ player at the frat known as 849 Ostrom. Stand up! And I just played Lynyrd Skynyrd nonstop, and my friends got annoyed wondering why I was playing music from the 1970s. And I said, hey, I don't know anything about this what's his name? Kid Kadai? Who's he? Jays? Who's Jays? Yeah, anyway. Where are we? Oh, yeah.
I don't know, but that's an interesting culture fit. Lynyrd Skynyrd playing at Syracuse.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it.
Have you ever seen a she-gator defend her young? That's a lyric from an actual Lynyrd Skynyrd song. All I can do is write about it in a song. Okay, I'm sorry, guys. Listen, the Houston Astros, they're a baseball team.
A winning one.
A World Series champion baseball team. Jim Crane had a press conference yesterday, and it is being somewhat criticized because he's been a little noncommittal. Here is a back and forth between the Houston Chronicle's Danielle Lerner and Jim Crane about the future of James Click and if he's done enough to get a little extension.
Jim, I do want to ask you about James Click. What has he done to not merit a contract extension to this point?
Same timeline as Dusty. I sat down with, you know, we were quite busy with a Saturday and then Sunday a little rest, and then we had the big parade and was able to sit down with James for a little while, and he had to shoot off to the GM's meeting. So we're in discussions, and when he gets back, we'll complete those discussions.
Non-committal. And some of you people listening right now, you might be saying, oh, well, Paul, don't you know a thing or two about being noncommittal, given the longest relationship you've been in has been for 4 months? To that, I say, hey, there's nothing wrong with being choosy. You're the Houston Astros. You are the belle of the ball. You just struck the lottery again for the second time in 6 years. I mean, you, along with Mattress Mac, are riding high. And everyone wants a piece of this. You got to be careful. You got to be choosy. You got to make sure that you find the one. You don't want to find yourself 15 years into a relationship with a small sports-obsessed 12-year-old, all of a sudden splitting up, devastating him and emotionally crippling him to a point where he might never, ever be able to get in a meaningful relationship. I'm not projecting here. I'm just saying like, it's not a problem to be a commitment phobe when you're not necessarily 100% sold on what you've seen out of James Click over the last couple of years, especially after you've had Jeff Luna before and you had AJ Hinch before, and then you had to say, like, oh, well, I got to let you go. And you had to let him go because, like, they were allergic to the dog and the cat and the baby. That would suck. Imagine being allergic to your baby. Is that a thing?
I've never heard of that.
It's got to be like a Ripley's Believe It or Not. Like, I was allergic
that
to my baby.
Like, that sounds like a reason a guy would give to try to get out of a relationship, but it's not actually real.
You know what? I'm going to write that down and potentially use it down the road. What? I didn't say that. I would never do that. I couldn't do that again. No. Anywho.
Again?
I didn't do that again. I don't know what I'm talking about here. I'm projecting. 100%. But listen, there's nothing wrong with being a bit of a commitment phobe. Jim Crane, though, was continued to be pressed. This doesn't even make sense. People continued to ask the tough questions. The Big J journalists with their Kangol caps or whatever journalists wear these days kept on asking Jim Crane about James Click. They asked if Click has improved the Astros situation.
Listen, I've run a lot of businesses. This one's no different. I'm never satisfied. If I was satisfied, you know, maybe we wouldn't be where we are. But I press everybody to get better from top to bottom. And I'm always, you can ask anybody in here, I'll pat you on the back. We're going to pat everybody on the back and have a great, you know, everybody get a nice bonus this year. And but guess what? We got to come back next year. So I'm always looking to improve, and I'm always, I can improve. People on my team can improve, and the players can improve. So the standard is there for everyone.
You might be critical of Jim Crane right there because he's saying, listen, you still got to work for it. But it's so true.
Oh, Paul, you've never been in a relationship. You don't know. You're a commitment phobe.
Okay, well, fine. Imagine you go on a great vacation. It's a great trip. That's what the Astros just did. They wanted a great vacation. It was a great trip. They could look back and say, wow, this is a great World Series. But, like, what if the prep leading up to the World Series wasn't exactly ideal? I don't know. Michael Brantley's hurt. Where's the outfield depth that you acquire at the trade deadline? Huh. Everyone seemed to know that Michael Brantley wasn't coming back. And yet, who did you get? Hey, you had an idea that you were going to go bungee jumping / trading for Wilson Contreras. But all of a sudden, one of the people realized, you know what, I'm afraid of heights. Dusty Baker steps in the way, so you stop that. Like, maybe the planning going into the actual vacation wasn't great. After the vacation, it was awesome, and there's going to be a little bit of an afterglow. But, like, nothing's guaranteed. And I like the Jim Crane saying, hey, listen, James, you got to keep working.
Maybe Crane's saying, hey, I've got to work on me first before I work on us as a relationship. Maybe it's one of those excuses.
Yeah, oh, that's like the most mean one that anyone can give.
I've got to go work on me.
Because it basically means you suck at something. Like, maybe you're bad at the sex. Maybe you're just an inconsiderate bastard. Maybe you're not that fun. Maybe you're too nice. But whenever somebody says, oh, it's not you, it's me, it's you.
It's you.
You just don't know what it is because that person is going to be dishonest to you. And I actually do hate that. Be honest with the person. Tell them up front why. They actually might improve their life. They might be better going forward.
And I think Click knows why. I mean, you mentioned he had his trade canceled or he was trying to send away Urquidy for Contreras. And listen, we'd heard about issues between he and Dusty before that where they weren't on the same page as who he wanted to play in center field, who he wanted to play here or there. So I think they've just got to take time to figure out, like, is our vision the same? And if not, then we got to move on.
Yeah. Speaking of the vision, how long is this vision going to go? Jim Crane was asked if he'd offer James Click a more than one-year deal.
As I said, we're in discussions. We haven't gotten that far yet, but, you know, we'll see where it goes.
Very noncommittal. I have no problem with the lack of commitment here. And really, I have no problem with the lack of commitment anywhere, though I hope at some point I will be a little bit better on my own personal front. But I will say, when it comes to this, you have to, I think, if you're the Astros, look at yourself in the mirror after every single year and wonder if you are best set up for the following season to win a title. I don't have a problem with reevaluating the managerial situation and the general managing situation after every single year. Dusty Baker gives you a little bit of flexibility because of his age. This might be the last year that he manages.
Yeah, it makes sense why you would go year to year with him.
Yeah, and I think with for Dusty, too, it probably feels the same way. I think he's really excited about what he did, but now, I mean, you could walk off into the sunset, but I think a lot of competitors, they want to keep on going until they can't go anymore. It's funny the way that things traditionally go, but I mean, if you just won a World Series, wouldn't you feel like you could win the World Series 100% next year? I would be feeling great if I'm Dusty Baker and I have all of this pitching that the Astros have. So these are things to keep in mind. I think that there's a lot of criticism of Jim Crane right now, and I have no issue with Chandler Rome being very pointed with it. I don't. I want to make that clear. Like, I disagree with it. I think, like, him saying that, like, hey, the Astros are masters of mangling situations, that was a little bit much. But I have no problem with him being critical of it because he talks to people in baseball circles, and they're probably all like, what the hell's going on here in Houston? It's kind of weird.
It is a bit odd to leave your general manager on a hook like this.
It is weird.
I mean, year-to-year with a 73-year-old manager makes sense, but with a guy like James Click, if you were invested in him, you think you wouldn't leave him in a lame duck and then without a contract.
That's true, but I think the idea of lame duck, I just don't subscribe to it being this massive issue. People who are hard workers are going to work hard continuously.
Sure.
And you're seeing that from James Click right now. Like, he's clearly still working on things. You've seen that the Astros decided, hey, we're not going to bring back Will Smith. Hey, we're not going to bring back Trey Mancini. Hey, we'll see what happens with Justin Verlander. At the very least, we're having discussions at this point in time. It's not like he's not working. I suppose it makes you feel a little bit less certain about your future going forward. But this organization is in an extremely rare place. And would you rather be, what, the Yankees with job security for literally decades for Brian Cashman where nothing's actually happening? They're going to give him more security. I mean, why? Because he works well with Hal Steinbrenner? I like this kind of flexibility. And if you call it commitment phobia, fine. And if you think it's a poor way to treat your employees, that's also fine, too. It's a cutthroat industry. It's the most cutthroat industry that there is. It's professional sports. Things are supposed to be won now, and if you're this team, they're supposed to be won every single year. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in too on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We have some thoughts that we will read on the other side. Plus, the latest on the scandal that brought politics and a championship together from earlier this week in downtown Houston. First, though, I got to tell you about your ability, your chance to go see the University of Houston Cougars taking on Temple this weekend. It's Heroes Night. Caller 3 to 713-780-3776. You win a pair of tickets to the University of Houston game Saturday, November 12th at 2 p.m. You can also purchase tickets for $15 at uhcougars.com/MVP. A portion of the proceeds will be donated to the MVP Foundation. Again, caller 3, you win a pair of tickets to see the Cougs take on Temple.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from East River 9 for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Here's Paul Gallant.
Paul Gallant Show, live at East River 9. Fantastic place to golf. It's the grand opening. Legitimately the best view of the Houston skyline that I think I've ever seen. And imagine you can golf here, too. They got 9 holes. They got lights so you can golf at night. Beautiful restaurant and patio to hang out here. Come on, hang out with us. We're going to be here until 7 o'clock. Killer Bees with Patrick Creighton. They're going to be in next. You got the Wheelhouse coming up as well. I don't like it when politicians insert themselves into sports, largely because where I grew up, I'm just used to politicians completely butchering the names of the local athletes. I grew up in Massachusetts, and I regularly remember Manny Ramirez's name being confused, calling Manny Ortiz. I think John Kerry called him that. The mayor of Boston said that Jason Varitek, the Red Sox catcher, hit the game-winning field goal for the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Like, politicians, whenever they start talking about sports, they generally don't know what they're talking about. So it's even worse, I think, when a politician finds a way to insert himself into a celebration for a city. It's like the one way to actually unify a lot of people the opposite way. And for those who didn't know, no matter how you feel about Ted Cruz, I think it's BS that he found a way to foist himself into the parade for the Astros on Monday. Here was the crowd reaction to him riding through the streets. Here's my question. How did he think that was going to go for him? What was the win? They're going to see a politician driving through a parade and say to themselves, you know what? Yeah! Woohoo! Like, these days, everyone pretty much hates all politicians. Understandably so with some of the things that are going on in our country. I don't want to turn this into a political segment. I'm just saying, if you're a politician and you're forcing yourself into this, you should get lost. I don't think, though, that you should have someone throwing can of White Claw out you, no matter how they feel about you. And the person who was arrested, Joseph Halm Arcidiacono, is the guy, 33 years old, my age, who allegedly threw a beer slash White Claw that struck Senator Ted Cruz in the chest neck area, per police. He did not require medical attention. He has been taken to jail. He is facing assault charges. I believe our good friend Steph Stradley, her law firm, is actually taking up his defense. I suppose you could leave this up to a jury or the actual video itself to make the determination. I did watch Zapruder style yesterday. I do think that if he was throwing it to Ted Cruz, it was much more of a chucking at him than a lob to him. But whatever.
Maybe he just thought Ted was thirsty. He was trying to give him a drink.
It could have been that, B-Mac. It 100% could have been that. But, I mean, he did throw it very far, and Ted Cruz clearly was not expecting
maybe
it.
Maybe he was aiming for somebody past Ted Cruz, and he just aimed poorly.
Maybe. Whatever the case, I'm sorry. Like, don't waste your good booze on a politician, okay?
Assault, though? Doesn't assault seem extreme?
Well, I honestly can't say. Like, he did throw it very hard. It did not seem like the kind of, hey, catch, kind of throw that some other Astros players probably got as they were driving through in the parade, getting a beer thrown their way. It did not feel like the kind of, hey, catch it and throw it. All I'm going to say is, why the hell do the politicians have to force themselves into this stuff?
I guess he was hoping that the Astros cheers would just carry over, but, and like people would just keep cheering because it was another float.
No one's going to cheer him. No one's going to cheer pretty much any politician. You know, you might get a smattering of them, but for the most part, most people think that these guys are full of it and don't actually represent their best interests, whether left or right. Like, that's how I feel about all of these guys. Anyway, it's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Well, guys, if you are into Houston area youth baseball, you might have heard about this news. Houston area youth baseball umpires were arrested and accused of having meth on them.
Is that a problem?
I guess so. I'm assuming that they had the intent to distribute. I doubt that this is going to be...
Does that make their strike zone more erratic?
Well, I don't know. Ask Angel Hernandez about that. I don't think he would like the accusation, but it might be better to be accused of being on drugs than to have the MLB detailed, what, like 40-page report that they had about how bad Angel Hernandez is at his job. So, apparently, there was an alleged drug deal involving marijuana, vape pens, and one of the umpires had meth in his car while the other had meth in a clothing pocket. Marijuana, vape pens. They are illegal.
I mean, if you want to smoke the marijuana, that's one thing. Meth at a Little League baseball game.
So they had it in their car.
Takes it to the next level.
One of them did. The other had it in a clothing pocket. I get it. Like, baseball can be boring. I imagine Little League baseball is even more boring. Like, I get it.
You're not Little League baseball, Paul?
No. Little League baseball, Paul. Not a real thing. Also, listen, you know, earlier today we were accused of not being the most woke radio show. But if you've ever heard of Olivia Dunn, she is an LSU gymnast with over 8 million followers across all social media. She's making over $2 million a year. Stanford women's basketball coach Tara Vanderveer isn't a fan, randomly bringing her up, saying, quote, "I guess sometimes we have this swinging pendulum where we maybe take two steps forward and we take a step back. We're fighting for all the opportunities to compete, to play, to have resources, to have facilities, to have coaches, and all the things that go with Olympic caliber athletes. This is a step back." Olivia Dunn is a beautiful woman. Olivia Dunn's response was this: "Seven figures. That is something I'm proud of, especially since I'm a woman in college sports. There are no professional leagues for most women's sports after college. If you're a hot athlete and you're monetizing your hotness, all the bleeping power in the world to you. That is America. That is capitalism, baby.
Like any athlete, you only have a limited window to cash in and make money. I don't know why you said it was the Stanford head coach. I don't know why she would hold it against another athlete trying to monetize while she can.
I think it is the opposite of feminism to tell a woman that how she dresses is actually affecting like women's rights going forward. If you're hot, guess what? Things are different for you. And if you can find a way to monetize it.
Yeah, things are different for Chris Hemsworth, too. Let's be real.
Yeah, 100%. That is Brian McDonald. I'm Paul Gallant. This was the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Babes back at Mission Control, our texters, our Twitchers. Coming up next is the Killer Bees, live from East River 9. You want to come on and out? Come on out and hang out with them. Joel Blank, Patrick Creighton, next right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Peace!
ESPN 97.5.